So I say lovely to see you all. Welcome to this new venture, this new experiment, which we'll see how it goes. Initially, I mean, you can see people you know, people you don't know. Initially, I've just asked invited people either from one of my meditation groups in locally here or people from the Dolphin Group who've been in my meditations a lot. And a few other people who've been in other workshops of mine, regular workshops in person, who I thought might be interested in coming along. So we have a mix, but I think nearly all of you are probably familiar with my approach to some degree. And Linda is, you see Linda, she's moderator. She's my technical assistant. She's in charge of everything, which means I can just get on with talking, etc. And the chat, I'll explain more about that, but if you want to get hold of Linda, just go to the chat and leave her a message. I'll talk more about that again in a minute. Everybody should be muted. Linda, can you mute everybody? I see a lot of people don't look like they're muted.
They're not yet. I have to do it now.
Right. Just that this is not because I want to keep you all silent, but just to stop back.
You need to unmute yourself, Peter.
Okay. This is just to stop background noises, Hawaiian bird calls, traffic, dogs barking, refrigerators coming in. What else was I going to say? Yeah, just talking about the background to this, what I'm doing here. As some of you know, when COVID struck, I started doing the local Tiburon group online, but for various reasons, it wasn't very satisfactory. And then I got into writing. I've been working, produced a new book which is coming out in the summer called Letting Go of Nothing, which I'm excited by. And then after I finished that, I sort of went into retreat mode. I didn't want to do too much. I sort of just been quiet. And then just over really started just before Christmas, feeling now it's time to do something. And I thought of starting up the meditation group again, but nothing quite felt right about it. And I resisted it and resisted it and talked to Linda about it. And then thought, what I'd really like to do is a mixture of, giving short talks, because there's many things that are on my mind, things I've been writing, things I'm exploring in my own work, and then have a short meditation. One of the things that didn't work before really was having like 20-minute meditations on Zoom. There wasn't the focus. So we'll have shorter meditations. And as always in my groups, lots of time for questions, discussion. That's when we can really get into things. So what else do I need to say at the moment? Oh yes, questions and answers. The way I'm going to handle this, and this is more as an experiment for later, is if you've got questions, which I hope you do have, things you want to mention or comments, put them in the chat to Linda. And then she will keep an eye on the chat. And then when we go to questions, she can, bring people up, etc. This is partly so that I don't have to look at that and wonder about that or select people. It means I can just focus on whatever it is I want to say. But also, I think this is going to grow. I want to open it up to more people later. And as it grows, it's probably going to be more necessary to have some sort of moderation of the questions rather than people jumping in. So that's the idea behind that. And you'll see that little red recording thing up in the top left. I'm recording it really just to have audio recordings. I'm just going to take the audio and put the audio up on the website so that people can listen to it again. People who've missed it can listen to it. So that's the idea of the recording. And the format is roughly that I'll speak for a little bit. We'll then have a little meditation and then the discussion. And probably I aim to finish with another short meditation at the end, like I've often done in the past in the real groups. Real groups. Well, this is a virtual group, so those were real groups. So let's talk about the theme, mindfulness of being. It's something that's been in my mind, this title, a long time, and that's really the background theme to what I want to talk about. And mindfulness, I mean, many of us have done mindfulness practices. I have got a lot of value from them. And there's, you know, there's different sorts of mindfulness, whether it's mindfulness of breath or body or thinking or mood. And that's all, I mean, that's all very valuable. It allows the mind to quieten down. We get a perspective on our own thinking, what's behind it, our patterns, our desires, our aversions. That's all valuable stuff. But I've always felt it's missing out on an important aspect, which is our beingness. We don't have mindfulness of our beingness, which I think is really important, because if you look at what a lot of the great mystics have said, is that, you know, behind all of this, there is something else, whether you call it being. I like being because it's the most neutral term. You might call it the true self, pure awareness, the divine. There's many different terms we can give to it. I like being because it's neutral. But this is what we're not normally interested in. The attention is nearly always on the world out there, what's going on, or on our thoughts or on our feelings. And we miss this essential quality. In fact, the word mystic comes from the Greek mystos, which means that which is not seen. And, you know, what is seen, what is observed, what is experienced is whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in our minds, all of that, our feelings. And the mystos is that which is not, we're not aware of. And so mindfulness, I think traditional mindfulness, is great for all that can be observed, all that can be experienced, but it misses out on becoming more aware of that deeper quality of presence, being that's always there. So that's really the sort of background to what I want to do in these sessions. And just talking about this time as a background, but I want to talk about other things I say that are interesting at the current time. Now, one of the things about this is that it's not something we should go looking for. We're not seeking being or anything like that. In fact, you can't really put it in words. I mean, the mystics often say it's ineffable, meaning it cannot be described, it cannot be put in words, because it has no qualities of its own, really. It's just that sense of presence that's always there, but we don't notice because our attention is out on what we're thinking, what we're doing. One way I think of it, as some of you already know, is, you know, being, the verb to be, if we conjugate it, is like, or it is the third person, you are, but I am, that's the verb to be. And as you also know, I like to drop the I, because the I becomes another noun, another object. But just to think of it as amming, like the first person of being is amming, and as a way of pointing towards something that's always there, this sense of amming, I am always here, that sense of being, that sense of presence. So it's a way of coming back to that and bringing the attention back to that. But to say it's not normally noticed. But it is so familiar. When we drop into it, it's like, ah, yes, this is it. It's not something new. It's just something that we weren't actually allowing ourselves to be aware of, or just to be interested in. The attention always goes to what is interesting in the world or in our thoughts, whatever it is. But it's about becoming interested in what is this sense of being, of amming. What is this sense that's there? So that's what I want to be doing in this meditation, really. Perhaps just leave it at that. There's more we can say when we get into the questions and into the discussion about sort of amplifying this more. So in this meditation, really, the essence of it is very simple. It's the first instruction is not following thought. It's so easy to, what we do in daily life, we get caught up in a thought and we follow it leads to another thought. In meditation, we're just making that choice whenever we notice we're thinking, whether it's, you know, major big thought or whether it's just a little faint thought like, oh, this is nice, oh, I'm getting the hang of this, whatever it is, whatever the thinking is, just leaving it, not following it anymore. And then when we stop following the thought, we just become more naturally aware of what is there in the present moment, maybe, you know, sounds around us, what's going on in the body, that sort of thing. And then, and that's sort of more, you know, classic mindfulness. And then in that, just to open up to what is this sense of being that's there? So in the present moment, just coming back and say, what is its sense of aming, being, awareing, that's always there? And just being interested in what that is. Ram Dass used to say, be here now. I mean, we're not used to say many times, his great phrase of his, be here now. And I think we put a lot of attention on the here now, being aware of the here and now. But again, that beingness is often missed. So what I'd like to do, yes, I'll just lead a short meditation. I've got to bow here. At the end of the meditation, you will hear this. That is not a sign to rush out. I think one common mistake with meditation is people jump out of meditation. Oh, it's over. This is just a sign to say, okay, let's just gently, slowly come back to being here in this world as opposed to being there in the beingness. So I think that's it. This will probably be about 10 minutes. So if you would like to just get yourselves seated comfortably, wherever you want to be. And I always find the first thing that's really helpful is just to take a few deeper breaths out. That's always a sign that to the body that things are okay. If our breathing is relaxed, the body knows that things are okay. We can just begin to relax in the body. And so first of all, just feeling that sense of physically relaxing, letting go of any need to hold the body in any position or anything like that. And you'll probably notice as you do that, sometimes maybe there's a greater sense of ease, quietness. Probably notice thoughts running through your mind, little thoughts. In the present moment, probably noticing sounds around you, sensations in the body. So as I said, in this practice, we're not following the thought. When you notice a thought, just choose not now. We've said we're not going to, no need to think about anything for the next 10 minutes. So when you notice a thought, just say, okay, not now, later. And just when we do that, we just begin naturally to come back to just feeling ourselves in the present moment, just feeling how it is. And probably just noticing sensations in the body, the natural movement of the body as you breathe. Not really focusing on anything. I like to think of this as expanding our awareness. It's like, instead of zooming in, which we do so often in our thinking, we zoom in on something. This is like zooming out, having a more open, expansive awareness of the present. And just allowing it all to just be as it is, with no judgment. Not trying to change anything. And each time we just come back, letting a thought go, just coming back to noticing not only the present, but noticing how it feels as we just let the attention relax. Usually some sense of greater ease, peace, openness, whatever it is, different things for different people, but just noticing how it is when we begin to let the attention relax. And then just noticing how whatever experience is there in the moment, whatever it is, in the background there's this sense of just our own beingness, whatever you want to call it, that sense of presence, the I am-ness. I like to think it was just being, that sense of here I am. Ah, yes, here I am. Noticing all these different experiences and not trying to focus on it. You can't really focus on it, but just like however it is for you, it's different things for different people. However it is for you, when you just become interested in that sense of here I am being, that sense of personal presence. Just being interested in what that's like for you. Almost forgetting anything you might have heard about it. Just being open to it. And not trying to hold on to it at all. You'll notice soon enough little thoughts start coming in again, or you're going off somewhere else, whatever it is. Just when you notice that, just repeating that same process we started with. You notice the thinking, just choosing not to follow it, coming back to being here, noticing any greater sense of ease that happens when you do that. And then as you begin to just relax into the moment, just again, being interested in that quality of beingness, presence. And don't worry if you don't notice too much. It's just the intention just to come back to noticing what's there behind all our experiences. So I'll just leave us for a few minutes just to continue this practice in your own time. Just not following the thought, allowing ourselves to come back and rest in the present moment. And then just being interested in what this personal sense of beingness is like for you. We're not trying to find anything, but just noticing what's there, that's all. Let's say just gently coming back. And if you have any questions, anything you want to explore or comments or anything like that, please just put them in the chat for Linda. Anything you want to add about that, Linda? I meant to ask you before if there's anything you wanted to say about that process. You're muted.
About putting things in the chat?
Yeah.
No, if we have a lot of people and a lot of different questions, I'll try and organize them. But this is a small group, so it's very simpler.
Right.
So I'm getting some thank yous, and somebody had to leave. So Peter doesn't actually see these. I will save the chat and he'll see them.
One thing I wanted to say in terms of taking this practice out there, I mean, something that I've been exploring more and more is what I call micro meditations, which is just a few seconds, many, many times a day, just whenever it occurs to me. I like to leave little notes around the house to remind me, or other things, or between tasks, or whenever I pick up the phone before I do anything with it, is just to simply pause, just to pause in that moment, and just pausing whatever I was doing, pausing whatever I was thinking, and just for that moment or two, just coming back, noticing how it is to be present, and then just taking a few moments just to notice that quality of however it is for you, that sense of being. I mean, one of the questions I like to use, which actually I learned from Rupert Spira a long time ago, was a simple question: am I not the one that is aware of all this? People, when they initially hear the question, it sounds a bit convoluted. Am I not the one that is aware of all this? It's like double in it. I find it much more useful than saying, if we say, am I aware, the mind comes in and says, yes, of course I'm aware. We're not actually really reflecting on it. I mean, something that makes us human beings is that we have self-reflective consciousness. We all know that we are conscious. We all know we are aware. But it's going deeper than that. It's actually beginning to taste that, what it's like. And an analogy I sometimes think of is, if you ask someone, is there a back to your head? you know, do you have a back of your head? Is there a back of your head? We'd all say yes, but that's just a concept, an idea. There's the other thing of just saying, okay, can I sense, what is that sense, that feeling in the back of the head? There's a sculpt, there's a sensation there. If we tune into it, there's a faint sensation of there being a back of the head. So it's more like that. It's not answering the question, you know, am I not aware of all this? Of course we are, but it's like using that as a way of just coming back and just reflecting. Ah, yes, here I am, here I am. And it's not anything different. It's not a different sense of I am. It's that sense of I am that is always there. The sense that I am thinking this, I'm aware of this, I am sad, that sense of I am, but it's just coming back to just noticing that pure quality of beingness that's always there.
So I've got a couple of questions, and two of them go together, so I'll read both of them. Jeff and Alan have written these questions. And the first one was, would you speak about how beingness and love might be related? And then the second one says, when you talk about returning to being, does being have sensations, i.e. feelings like love, peace, and joy?
Great. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. What was the first question again?
How beingness and love might be related.
Right, yeah, yeah. Okay, yes, they're similar. The way I see it, I mean, different people express it differently. The way I see it, beingness itself doesn't have any qualities. But when we drop back into just being, then various qualities arise in that state of just being. One of them is that quality I touched on earlier, just being at peace. It's like a deep peace. I often refer to it as unconditional peace, unconditional happiness. We're at peace because of something like the rain has stopped, I feel better, I'm at peace, or my neighbor stopped bothering me, I'm at peace, or whatever it is, I've got this job done, I'm at peace. That's conditional peace, conditional happiness. But it's just a quality of peacefulness that's there. And that's because the thinking mind, which is what disturbs us and disturbs the peace, is no longer active. So it's just there's a natural sense of peacefulness which accompanies the being. And people sometimes say, oh, you know, our true nature is peace, yes, but that's how we feel. The beingness itself, almost by definition, doesn't have any qualities. And the same applies, I mean, joy. What I notice is when I'm really just dropped back into that, this real sense of just innate joy. And again, something all the teachers have pointed to. And love, the word I use is like lovingness. There's a quality of lovingness. And again, I think it relates to the fact that the normal thinking mind, which is so busy looking out there, judging things or liking things, loving them in that way, is no longer active. And so it's just this quality of lovingness that's there when we drop back towards our being. And the closer you drop back, the more you begin to notice it. So that's the way I see it. And it's not a black and white thing. This is my experience. It's not like, oh, I'm there or I'm not there. It's like gradually, I've noticed in my own journey, it gets clearer and clearer. And times, remember when I started years ago, I thought this was some other wonderful new state of consciousness I was going to find that was going to be different and wonderful and exotic and ecstatic and all these words I was reading about. Instead of realizing, hang on, it's just something absolutely ordinary that's always there. We don't notice it. But when we do drop back, the closer to it, and we may just drop back just a little bit, we just notice that sense of ease, relaxation. That's just the beginning of noticing how it feels when we drop back, that peacefulness. And so as we drop back closer to it, we just begin to feel that sense of openness or greater sense of lovingness, whatever it is. So I see these as qualities that are there, that accompany, that are always there in a way, but are overshadowed by all our thinking and worrying and planning and hoping and excitements and all of that. So when we just come back to our beingness, they're revealed. That's probably the best way of putting it. They're veiled by all our thinking. And so they become unveiled. So they become revealed to us. So that, yeah, that's the way I look at it. Always want to emphasize that because, you know, different people put it different ways. And, you know, all I'm doing in all of this is just sharing what I'm finding, learning, and probably, you know, months time, 6 months time, years time, I'll put it differently.
So I have another question from Miriam, which yes. is, it's a question about presence in the sense in contrast to spirit, soul, and auric field.
Maybe unmute Mariam. Mariam, can you say hi, Mariam?
Hello. I don't see myself. I think I got off of mute on both the camera and...
We can see you. We can see you and hear you.
Okay, hello. I don't know how to ask my question, except to say that what I experience always seems like it's different than what your words seem to mean to me. So I wanted to see if I can check this out, because when I begin to drop in, I have the sense of an energy, particularly in my hands, and as I drop in further, it's as if I lose my sense of body integrity, so that I become what I call myself. I become like a swarm of bees or a flock of birds, so that there is this sense of movement and fluidity that the deeper that I go, the more this expands until I have a sense of what I'm going to call myself as potentially covering a large area, even miles. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't seem like what you're talking about.
It is, in a way. It's part of the dropping back towards yourself. And as we do, one way of looking at it is the boundaries we have begin to soften, begin to dissolve. Mm-hmm. So I would see these as more subtle experiences that arise as you begin to let go of the normal, very sort of hard focusing on the world, that sort of thing. So I would definitely think that it's in the right direction. But then the question, you know, I would put to you is, you know, this sense of expansion, you know, becoming miles wide, whatever it is, all of that, is this not something you are aware of?
I ask me the question with perhaps different words. Is this something?
Yeah, not even asking a question, just noticing all of these are just their experiences you're having.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences you're noticing, and much more subtle experiences. They're easier, gentler, more expansive experiences. Mm-hmm. And they're still experiences that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the question is really, it's not really a question, but just the encouragement to notice what that sense of presence that's always there is like for you. That sense of you that is noticing this expansion, that's noticing all of this. How does that feel to you? And not to look for anything. We get trapped when we start looking for something, but just to be open, just to be interested in what is this sense of, I call it beingness or amness, whatever it is. It's different things for different people.
Okay. I don't feel like I have a sense of observing something. I have it is as if I I am this. So it doesn't, my words don't fit with your words.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I think there is this thing, it's different for all of us. And there's, you know, we hear, I mean, I know when I started years back, I was reading Upanishads when I first started back at college. And I got all these amazing ideas from the Upanishads of what it was going to be like. And it just gradually over the years, it just got slowly got more and more obvious what this was all pointing to. So I would say, don't worry. It's like, one of the nice lines I discovered much later in the Upanishads, it says, the self reveals itself to itself. It's not that I go and discover something, it's that gently, gradually, over time, it starts becoming, this is what I found, just starts becoming more apparent. Ah, this is what it is. Oh, this is what they're pointing to. So I would say just really stay with your experience. Okay. Stay with your experience. Don't look for anything else. And just, you know, just be open with that inquiry of just, what is this sense of, is there a sense of presence or not? Not even asking that question, no, but just, I think you're doing fine. And I know we've talked about this before when you're having these subtle experiences.
Well, I think that this resonates because I have this sense of I'm missing something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That I have something right in front of me and I can't see it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. I'm sorry if I led you to that. That's the problem with this. You know, it's like it's so easy to get into looking for something. As soon as you think you're missing something, you're looking for another experience. You're looking for something else.
Uh-huh.
And this is more just becoming more familiar with what is already there. I mean, as some teachers say, I think it's true, it's hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. But because our attention is onto things in the sense of objects of experience, thoughts, feelings, subtle experiences, whatever it is, our interest in the attention is always directed somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That's why I say it's a relaxing of the attention. You know, first of all, we relax the body, relax the mind. And then as we let the attention itself relax, we just gradually just drop back closer to ourself.
Let me be with this. Thank you.
Yes, really, just be with it. Don't think you're missing anything. Just sitting with it. I mean, I thought for years I was missing something and I was looking for something like, okay, what is it? What is it? And I say, ah, now I've realized what it is. And then just gradually, that was just another little very subtle experience. But, you know, mm-hmm. And gradually it just dawns. And the simplicity of it just dawns. But don't, I think it's important, don't go looking for something. Don't feel you're missing something. I mean, just dropping back like you are into these quieter states with that more expansive sense of self, the boundaries dissolving. And I presume that feels nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Okay. Just sit and enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
Anyone else, Linda?
Yep, we have another one from Jeff Nelson. How much of our experience of being might be due to the relaxation of the left brain hemisphere, allowing the right hemisphere to come forward? This consideration is grounded in the work of Ian McGilchrist.
Yes, yes, yes. Thanks, Jeff. I love Ian's work. I love it. He's really put a whole different shift or a whole different emphasis on the whole left-right brain thing. And I think there's a truth in this. It used to be thought, you know, the left brain was the logical side of the brain, you know, the language, the mathematics, and the right brain was the artistic side. I think what Ian points out, which I think is, and he has, as you know from his book, piles and piles and piles of research, is the left brain is better at focused awareness and the right brain is better at more open, expansive awareness. So I think there's definitely an element of truth in this, that we're, by not by letting go of the thinking and that sort of stuff we associate with the left brain, but it's more focused awareness. As we let the attention relax, then it could well be that more open awareness of the right brain is playing a role. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And yet I also get a sense that, but that's not the whole explanation. That's probably just a piece of it.
Yeah. I think that's more that's an explanation of the process of what's happening.
Right.
And I've always been reluctant to pin too much on the left-right brain stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it came out 50 years ago, it was fascinating. And people sort of jumped on it and wrote books about it and everything. I feel it's interesting. It's an important part of our makeup. When we just come back to just that quality of beingness, I think it's beyond the role of left-right brain. It's just, and from what, the great masters say, is that as this awareness develops, then you can be, engaged fully in the world and still be in touch with that quality of beingness. And that could be whether you're out there doing art or solving a mathematical problem. It doesn't really matter. But I think as a way of beginning to notice it, then the taking the attention out of that sort of focused way of the left brain, I think, is an important part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as our direct experience of that, any explanation due to left brain, right brain isn't really helpful. It's just right. The way my mind is more analytical and scientific. I appreciate those kinds of understandings. Not that it's any particular aid to my own.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. That's how I. It's fascinating, but
yeah.
In the end, the fascination could actually get in the way of just that simple, relaxing, dropping back. Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks. Anyone else, Linda?
Not yet.
Okay. Actually, where did I go? I saw yesterday, I was reading a book of poems, and this really struck me as being relevant. It's from Gifts with No Giver by this guy called Nirmala, who was a student of one of Ramana Maharshi's students. This, I was just reading yesterday, what this is so relevant. Well, so much of his poems are. Welcome home. Welcome to the home never left. You have always lived here, will always live here. This is home forever. So stop now. No effort is required. Even during all journeys, you have always been here. This is home forever. So relax now. The fire is in the hearth. The inner fire is keeping you warm. The storms outside cannot touch you. This is home forever. So rest now. Everyone loved is right here. We have always lived here. We'll always live here. This is home forever.
Can you tell me who that was again, Peter?
Yeah, it's Nirmala, Nirmala, Gifts with No Giver.
I'm just going to put it in the chat.
Can other people see the chat?
Yes, once I put it in, it turned the word to normal instead of Nirmala. So is it normal with an A?
Nirmala. Nir.
Move the I, okay.
Nirmala.
Great. And we do have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, could you then call it perceiving with the heart?
Yes. Yes. I think, again, this is, you find it in so many traditions that, you know, our real beingness is in the heart. And as you know, sometimes in meditations, I encourage us to drop down into that space of the heart. So yes, I think it is. It's perceiving with the heart. And that's where that lovingness comes from. So, and it can sometimes be a sort of real, sometimes just an experience, actually, like, this is where you're coming from. This is where you're coming from. So definitely it looks like, oh, is that from Jana? Oh, well, of course, Jana, yes. It's from the heart, yes, yeah. And a way it's getting something else we don't notice. I mean, like, we are so caught up in our minds, in our thinking, in our perception, in where we're going and all the stuff we have to do and plan and get excited by or get depressed by. I think, you know, that quality of heartness is always there. It's our minds which are closed. People sometimes talk about opening the heart. I don't think it's so much opening the heart. It's about letting go of all the mental activity that veils the heart. So it becomes more apparent as we drop in closer. So anything else anyone wants to add? It's about 10:02. I'm thinking of keeping these to an hour or so, just to not take up too much of people's time. Okay, so why don't we just have another short meditation? What I used to do in my groups, as you know, was actually just finish with a silent meditation, one I don't guide. More, just a few minutes, just to really sit with what the instructions have been, and just wherever we've gone in the time together, and just really being with that yourself without guidance. So for this, it would just be just remembering those instructions, not to follow the thought, whatever the thought is, just choosing right now not to follow it, coming back, noticing that sense of noticing what's there, the present moment. And for me, it's important, I find, to notice that any quality of ease that comes with that as you begin to relax. And then just being interested in any sense of presence that might be there. So let's just do that just for a few minutes, just for about 3 minutes or so. Again, I'll ring the bell. And then we'll take a few other things I want to say in a few minutes to close, and little announcements. So maybe if you could just mute everybody again, Linda, so that background sounds don't get in the way. And I'll unmute myself again if I'm muted. And as always, I find it important just starting just by a few deep breaths, breathing out, allowing us to relax, and then just being here now in the moment. So I have a few closing things, announcements, but I see Ariadne, you wanted to introduce us to your friend. Do you want to briefly unmute yourself?
Hi, thanks for that, Pete, really good. I want to introduce Anne Engels to you. She's an old school friend. Well, she's not old, but from a long time ago. Hi, Anne. Wave. And Anne is a very talented cello player. So haven't seen her for a very long time. We'd be caught up on Zoom recently again.
Thanks. Hi, Anne.
Thank you very much for admitting me in this group. It was Ariadne indeed who asked me to join you. So thank you very much.
Great, great. No, it's open. Yeah, to friends. And in fact, I will gradually open it up more in the future. This is, as I said, this has been really a first time, a sort of good experiment, sort out any teething problems. One thing, several people who wanted to join, probably half a dozen, they just found this time wasn't working for them, midday here on Pacific time. I was originally thinking of doing it earlier. So I'm now musing maybe going back a couple of hours, which will be nicer for you in Europe, be early evening rather than late evening. So I was thinking maybe making it at 10 rather than noon, so that more people have the chance to be here, not be out doing Sunday lunchtime things. And that would still, I think, work for you, those of you in Hawaii, because it would be, what, 8 in the morning. So that's one thought I'm having. And please, you know, as I say, this is the first time we're learning. Do email me with any feedback, suggestions you have. I don't want to get into a whole discussion here, but, you know, please, if you have anything, do email me. The meetings are going to be irregular in the sense that I initially thought of making them once a month or once every 2 weeks or something. I don't enjoy doing that, to be honest. It means I've got to somehow have something to say. I'd rather just, like, when I've got something, you know, maybe in 2 weeks' time I'll have another meeting, maybe it'll be 3 weeks, don't know. And just, like, just let it flow in a spontaneous way. If that feels easier for me. And I'll be making announcements, you know, through the, oh yes, that's the thing. Somebody didn't get the email I sent out with the Zoom links, etc. Please make sure that my address, peter@peterussell.com, is the address that this came from, is in any white lists or mailing list you keep. Just make sure the emails come through. And thanks also for the support that some of you have given. I really appreciate that. I mean, the more material support, as I said, I don't charge anything for these sessions, but if you want to make some support, that's great. You can just go to the main Mindfulness of Being website. What else? Thank you, Linda. Anything you want to add, Linda, or anybody else want to add?
Well, I put the contribution thing in the chat. I wasn't okay, because you didn't ask me to, but then since you mentioned it, I thought I'd put it in there too.
Great, thank you.
No, it's great to see everybody.
Yes, and a nice mixture of people from different parts of my life. Anybody really wanted to say something? Just unmute yourself and check in.
Just really want to say thank you for doing this. It's always a treat to see you and be part of this great community. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of everybody, but it was really, I got really excited when I got your link that you're going to do this. And I thought this session was just great regarding rhythm and time and content, of course. So thank you.
Great. Lovely to have you with us, Alan. Yeah.
Thank you, Pete. It's great to see you. In a long time. Thanks.
Who was that? I missed who that was.
Barbara
Schultz. Oh, yes. You're down the bottom on my page. Great.
And Pepper, did you want to say something?
I did, but my dishwasher started interrupting, so I muted myself. I just wanted to say the same thing. Thank you. And I had a little trouble getting on. I'll explain it and see if I did anything wrong, but I won't bother with here. but I'm so grateful. Thank you, both of you.
Yes, yeah, thank you, thank you.
Great. And if people can be on time or a bit earlier, I mean, we'll leave it open. We'll open, like we did today, we'll sort of open the room at 10 to, and people can chat and say hello to each other. And just if you can get in before the hour, that means, you know, not waiting around so much for latecomers. I like to sort of start on time, but today it was different because people were having issues getting in, etc. Okay.
Nobody wants to go.
Nobody wants to go. Well, that's nice. But we'll see you all again soon. Probably, I've got a feeling 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. I've got some ideas of what some other things I want to talk about. Lots of them. It's just, yeah, I'll sort them out and let you know when it's going to happen. But thank you all for joining. Great to see so many familiar faces and some new faces. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. You guys. Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure.